I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, West Coast so-called leaders continue to lie about what is driving the homelessness crisis on the streets of their cities. Plus, Governor Ferguson claims Washington State doesn't even have enough money to pay for basic services. We've got the receipts. And Gavin Newsom wants to be president of the United States, but he cannot answer the simplest question about radical gender ideology. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show and really should support the show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Get access to our daily subscriber show poll, our Sunday show, Sundays with Subscribers, an in-depth interview show. And also coming up soon, you'll get a discount promo code for our merch store, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. You would think the billions of dollars spent, the collective minds of governors and mayors and county executives and members of Congress and state legislators across the entire West Coast could have by now led to a solution on the homeless crisis, don't you think? That altogether, as it's gotten worse and worse and worse, and as cities from LA to San Diego to San Francisco to Portland to Seattle to Bellingham have watched the homeless crisis explode on their streets over the last 15 years, you would think by now we'd have a pretty good handle on what's going on. But of course, that would assume that all of these leaders are operating honestly and they're willing to be honest about what's actually causing the crisis, which you guys know. In fact, I really should get away from calling it a homeless crisis at all, because it's not a homeless crisis. It is a drug crisis, and it is a drug-fueled mental health crisis, because calling it a homelessness crisis suggests that the lack of a home is what has left these people in crisis. And we, of course, know that that's not true. On the show yesterday, we did a deep dive into the revelation that in Portland, which is a, you know, big city, but it's not a huge city, is spending more than $700 million a year to address the homeless crisis, only for it to get roughly 25% worse. And what does the city of Portland have to show for it? Well, it has scenes like this to show for it. All over the city, people living in filth and squalor and despair, people overdosing on a daily basis on the streets, all the crime and quality of life issues that come along with it. That's what $700 million a year buys you. Man passed out on a dirty couch, covered in a blanket given to him by the government. And it's not just Portland, as you know. I mean, I could talk about the same things, and I could really be talking about any West Coast city. Here's what billions and billions of dollars gets you in Seattle.
This young lady just told me that she had severe frostbite, and that's just in one winter. Just one winter sleeping outside here in Seattle. And then just earlier this year, she had to have all her toes amputated.
Does he need Narcan? Does he need Narcan?
We gave it to him already.
Oh my gosh.
Keep pushing it, bro. We need your pump. Keep it going, bro.
Yeah, that's what billions of dollars gets you in the city of Seattle. Death, despair. Lines a lot of pockets, though. Lines a lot of pockets of progressives and Democrats and their cronies and allies while people die on the streets. And perhaps no city has spent so much for so little than the city of San Francisco. Here's what billions of dollars in San Francisco has got San Franciscans. Apocalyptic type scenes still on the streets of San Francisco and in places like the Tenderloin. Like scenes from a zombie movie. San Francisco spends over $100,000 per year per homeless person to do what? To keep them living in despair, to keep them addicted to drugs, to make sure that they've got clean needles and tin foil and anything they need to keep those deadly drugs going into their bodies. And meanwhile, the people in San Francisco who are supposed to help those individuals are making $500,000 or more in some instances, thanks to taxpayers, to do what? To fail. And as we continue to see those scenes out of places like San Francisco and Los Angeles, at least one city, I guess, since I mentioned Los Angeles, at least one city is seeing some success, if you believe that city's mayor, LA Mayor Karen Bass.
I'm happy to report that when I was on my way over here, I got a text message from our governor congratulating Los Angeles for moving the needle forward.
For the second year in a row, homelessness has decreased in Los Angeles, according to LA Mayor Karen Bass.
Oh, that's great. Okay, you know, I'm hard on Seattle, I'm hard on Portland, I'm hard on San Francisco. I'll give Karen Bass credit where credit is due. According to her, according to that news report, homelessness is down in Los Angeles for the second year in a row. It dropped 3%. 3%, and look, 3% is 3%. I'd rather see it going in that direction than going in the other direction. Of course, as always, and on this issue, what we see are West Coast leaders bend the truth, ignore facts, and sometimes just downright lie, and the media helps them do that. Because if you actually looked at the numbers in Los Angeles and what led to a decline of 3%, it's not people getting out of homelessness, it's people dying in homelessness. Kevin Dalton bringing the facts, saying the decrease that they're celebrating in Los Angeles is a decrease of 1,553 people, which would be impressive, except last year, 2,508 homeless people died on the sidewalks of Los Angeles. So a really good way, I guess, according to Karen Bass, to decrease the homeless problem in Los Angeles is to just let them die out there. Man, 2,500 people die? Well, that's a decrease for us. That's enough to get the governor of California to call Karen Bass yesterday and congratulate her on how much progress they've made on fighting the homeless crisis. Yeah, it's because people are dying out there. You didn't factor that in, did you? And the media didn't think enough to look at those basic numbers and do the math and say, carry the two, 1,500, that's weird because more people than that died. Wild. So as you know, the reason they can't fix it is they won't properly identify the problem. I mean, you all know what the problem is. You go downtown in any of these cities and you look at these areas, and anyone who's honest will tell you what the problem is. The problem is drugs. Very clearly so. The problem is drug-induced mental illness. Very clearly so. But you have these liars in so-called leaders who, for political reasons, who for money, will say that the problem is what, former Governor Jay Inslee?
The fundamental underlying challenge is that we do not have enough housing in our state for our people.
We do not have enough housing in our state for our people. So according to Jay Inslee and every other West Coast leader that continues to push this line, and according to our current governor, the fundamental reason why we have such a severe homeless crisis is we just got to build more houses. And then all of this will be fixed. And then you'll take these people who are suffering in drugs and addiction and living in filth and squalor on the streets, and you just put them in a house and bada bing, bada boom, a homeless problem solved. Now, I would believe that if, one, I were dumb, but I would also believe that if every other policy decision that they were making was designed to improve the housing crisis, except that's not the case. I mean, they just passed statewide rent control in Washington state, which we know is only going to make the housing crisis worse. Builders, developers said, we won't come and build things. So if they're not going to build things here, how can you make the housing crisis any better? They also passed policies that make it more expensive to buy a home in Washington state. So again, if they're telling you the reason we have all these people living in filth and despair is they can't afford a place to live, then why would they turn around and pass all of these policies and taxes and fees that the only purpose of them is to make it more expensive to buy a home? Just as an example, something to be on your radar, starting July 27th, we got this from our friend Wes Jones of sellwithwes.com, who got a notice from the Snohomish County Recorder's Office saying there would be a recording fee change. Meaning if you go to buy a home in Snohomish County, and really this is relevant across the entire state, starting July 27th, there's going to be a substantial increase in the cost of recording those documents related to your home purchase. How much of an increase? It says beginning July 27th, the recording fee for assignments and substitutions of previously recorded deeds of trust will increase from $18 to $301 for the first page. This change is the result of House Bill 1858. What's the fee breakdown? What is this for? Well, $183 will go to housing and homelessness. $100 will go to their reparations program, the Covenant Home Ownership Program, which allows people to get free down home, free home down payments just based on skin pigmentation. So it used to be $18, now it'll be $300. Because they're going to make it more expensive for you to buy a home so they can use that money to combat homelessness. And meanwhile, in Washington state, we're spending more money on homelessness than ever before, but more and more people are homeless. And we're supposed to believe they think it's a housing issue. And so their fix is to actually make housing more expensive for everyone. Figure that one out. And then you've got just cuckoo for Cocoa Puff stuff, like this letter to the editor that the Los Angeles Times saw fit to print. Let me tell you, a lot of people send letters to the editor, okay? And a lot of them are cuckoo. Just because they send it doesn't mean the Los Angeles Times has to print it. So clearly they printed this for a reason. Letter to the editor. There is no solution to homelessness that doesn't involve denting property values. The housing crisis is fundamentally driven by sky-high real estate prices. And there is no solution whatsoever that does not involve denting owners' precious property values. If we are not willing to tank California's real estate market, then we are not willing to solve the problem. That's how their minds work. So let's just say, let's go there, okay? I give in. Homelessness is a housing issue. I give in. They've said it so much. It must be true, right? Man, if the governor of California and Oregon and Washington are saying it, if all the nonprofits who are getting millions of dollars to address the issue are saying it, if mayors across the West Coast are saying it, it's got to be true, right? Homelessness is a housing crisis. Okay, I give in. So let's go there, shall we? Let's examine. So what'll happen? Let's say we've got 100,000 new affordable housing units that come online tomorrow. Poof. Right? That's enough to house every homeless person, right? So we shouldn't have any issues. Of course, that's stupid, because you will. Andrea Suarez with We Heart Seattle saw this scene unfolding in the Belltown neighborhood. Scene very, very common if you've been to downtown Seattle lately. A guy who she said appeared dead in a parking lot, Blanchard and 2nd Avenue. She called 911. Passersby used Narcan. And he was brought back to life. Brought back to life. Well, if only he had a home, right? He wouldn't be there overdosing on the sidewalk if he had a home, because we just discussed homelessness is a housing issue. Except there's one problem. That guy, his name is Tony, does have a house. Provided the courtesy of the taxpayers to get him out of homelessness. Andrea took this video. Look closely at what's around his neck. She talked to him after the fact. Keys to his house. He has housing. So that's weird. I don't know. I'm confused. I feel like I need to ask former Governor Inslee, Governor Ferguson, Governor Newsom, Karen Bass. This is weird. Why are there people overdosing on the streets who have a house? I thought you said that the solution to our homeless crisis was housing. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to get these people into housing, but I think common sense individuals would agree that these housing units should be stable, that they should be drug-free, that they should be safe, clean places for these individuals to turn their lives around. Except, you know, all this talk of this is a housing issue, it's allowed them to tax billions of additional dollars and send it to entities like the King County Regional Homelessness Authority. Andrea Suarez went by one of these homeless housing transitional apartments where your tax money is being spent trying to give homeless people a house, here's what it looked like. People outside, looks like a nice building, right? What's weird about it is a bunch of drug users outside. Well, gosh, you know, they don't have to go far out of their house to use drugs. And the inside, completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. Disgusting filth. Because, of course, just taking someone who's suffering from drug addiction and mental health and putting them in an apartment with your money doesn't do anything. Doesn't do anything except maybe, I guess, keep them a little warmer at night. Still using drugs in there. Still using drugs outside. In fact, the drug dealers know it, so what do the drug dealers do? Well, the drug dealers sit outside these apartment buildings paid for with your money, run by entities like the King County Regional Homelessness Authority that has a budget of what this year? $206 million. Can't even be bothered to go check up on these people. Hey, we got you into a apartment unit to make sure you can turn your life around. Maybe we should go over there and make sure that the drug dealers aren't slinging drugs outside, that you're not destroying the place, that you're not just using it as a way to do drugs in private, because that's exactly what's happening. $206 million a year, the King County Regional Homelessness Authority can't even be bothered to what? Stop by? All the drug dealers know it. That's easy for them, right? Hey, they send it out. You know, the cartel, the Hondurans that go and deal drugs at downtown Seattle, they just send their little drug dealers. Hey, go up to that DESC apartment, stand outside. Concentration of drug addicts there. Go up to that building run by the King County Regional Homelessness Authority. It's insane to me. And this, you know, fundamentally, it's disgusting, obviously, for people who say they're progressive and people who claim to care about those who are, you know, least advantaged in society, for them to be fine with this, for them to look the other way, for them to continue this lie that it's a housing crisis. Because again, and we talk about this all the time, if you really cared about these people, if you really genuinely cared about them, and you saw that billions of dollars that was supposed to help them wasn't helping them at all, wouldn't you speak up and say something? Wouldn't you say, hey, what happened to that $700 million? Why are there so many people still homeless on the streets? Why are there people with their fingers and toes rotting off because they've been out here so long in the cold? Why does this guy have an apartment, but he's still out here overdosing on drugs? If you really cared about him, wouldn't you just ask those questions? But they don't care about them. They don't. They don't care about them. Bob Ferguson doesn't care about the homeless. Jay Inslee didn't care about the homeless. Gavin Newsom doesn't care about the homeless. Karen Bass doesn't care about the homeless. They care about keeping money coming in. Keeping money coming in. And the most lucrative thing that they can get money for is housing. That's the most lucrative thing they can get the most tax money for, are programs to fund housing. You're going to get more. You're going to have much more money, tax money. You're going to be able to leverage to pay for housing, which is far more expensive than to pay for, like, say, drug treatment. So that's why they say it's a housing issue, because it will bring far more money in to say it's a housing issue. And then their cronies and their allies who run all these organizations that don't do a damn thing for the homeless, they'll have the money coming in, and they're never going to let it stop until these people, not you guys, because you know what's going on, but until all these so-called progressive voters demand to know why these people aren't being helped, despite the fact that they very generously or have been duped into approving billions of dollars in new taxes that they were led to believe would help the homeless. And the homeless aren't being helped. And then in the meantime, as we've talked about, you've got up and down the West Coast, all the so-called leaders focused on how cruel Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is so cruel. He has no humanity. You want to see what no humanity looks like? Go to downtown Seattle. Go to downtown Portland. Go to downtown San Francisco. Go to downtown LA, where the mayor is celebrating a decrease in homelessness that is only the result of so many homeless people dying. Disgusting. Disgusting. All right, coming up next, speaking of the budget issue, Bob Ferguson says we have no money. I'm sorry to break that news to you guys here. We have no money as a state. We can't even pay for basic services. Basic services. So we're going to look at the budget crisis. I'm really worried about this and see why we have no money. First, if your retirement portfolio was a sports team, how did it perform in the first half of 2025? Did it freak you out a little bit? Do you not even know? Is your financial advisor going to make any halftime adjustments to make sure that you perform better in the second half of 2025? Well, join Bulwark Capital Zach Abraham for his halftime webinar. It's happening Thursday, July 24th, so it's coming up quick, totally free to sign up. Bulwark's halftime webinar is not going to be a rah-rah speech. It's going to be a straight-up X's and O's discussion on global unrest affecting the market, perspective on the outlook for the second half of 2025, plus a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. Hear directly from Zach Abraham as he shares insights in this free halftime webinar, again, Thursday, July 24th. Register right now or after the show at knowyourriskpodcast.com. And if you can't make the webinar, at least get a second opinion on your retirement portfolio. It's absolutely free. Schedule your free Know Your Risk portfolio review at knowyourriskpodcast.com. Okay, got a double dose of unbelievable today, right? Whew. Let's get to it. Dun, 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 dun. Whoop. Okay. So on the spending front, right? And we've been through this. I mean, we just had a $15 billion budget deficit in Washington State. California is in far worse shape than us. A lot of these blue states spent themselves into a hole and accepted all this COVID money that it was very clear was one-time funds. And then they gave it to things that would need to continue to be funded, which makes no sense. If you won a $50,000 scratch-off ticket tomorrow, would you go and buy a $20 million mansion? Because the $50,000 would let you make 1 month's mortgage payment? No, because that would be stupid. That's what the government does. And that's what the government did during COVID. It's crazy stuff. So now we're in quite a situation. Bob Ferguson, you remember he sent out a bunch of tweets, really, but this tweet in particular about the One Big Beautiful Bill. He called it a betrayal. He says, we're going to work together and do everything we can to preserve core services. So he's making it sound like because of the federal government, core services are in jeopardy. And hell, I even heard a story, I'm looking into it, about a bridge being closed because WashDOT can't afford to fix it. It's no longer safe to drive on. It's cut off a whole community of people who now have to take a back route through some mountain logging roads. And so, gosh, you know that things are bad, right? You know we have no money if they can't even afford to fix a bridge, which is like the bare minimum of what the government is actually supposed to be doing. Democrats, Republicans, everyone agrees. Yeah, we got to fund infrastructure, right? So we don't have money for core services. How bad are things going to look? Like our revenue outlook, our spending must be just atrocious. Except here's the headline from the Center Square. Fiscal fallout. Washington state government spending surges 116% since 2025. So we're not in tough economic times. We haven't hit some sort of fiscal emergency. We're spending 116% more money than we were in 2015. And Bob Ferguson saying we might not be able to preserve core services. Says Washington state faces deficit spending by 2028 as lawmakers just hit taxpayers with the state's largest combined tax increase, all driven by massive state spending increases over the past decade. An investigation of state budgets by the Center Square found Washington state spent about $80 billion in the 2023-2015 budget, but is set to spend more than $173 billion in 2025 and 2027. That's a more than 116% increase over that time. You might be thinking, well, Brandy, 2015 was 10 years ago. There's something called inflation, duh. Well, U.S. inflation since 2015 has risen just 35%. So if the budget increase and the increase in spending had been 35%, well, I would say, okay, no problems here, but it's 116%. So we've got a lot of problems here. The article goes on to show, illustrate, All the areas where spending has dramatically increased. Public schools up 111%. What's the problem there? Anyone? Similar to the homeless discussion we just had. Well, spending in public schools is up 111%, but what's down? Academic outcomes, enrollment, and attendance. So we're spending 111% more to do way worse. Okay, problem there. Let's move on. Healthcare authority, 131% increase. What did Bob Ferguson just say? That because of the one big beautiful bill, he's got to tap in and send money to Planned Parenthood from our coffers, from a different fund where it wasn't even intended for it. What do you mean? We have 131% more money being spent on healthcare in Washington state. Yet we're still in a crisis when it comes to what you're saying is a core service, abortion? That's weird. 182% increase in the Department of Social and Health Services. Part of their responsibility is to do what? Deal with homelessness. So 182% increase in spending on things like homelessness, only for homelessness to get much worse. And then here's an interesting one. Long-term care, a 239% increase. Why? Well, because they passed the long-term care program, which is a socialist program, and are forcing every single one of you to pay into it to maybe get a long-term care benefit down the road. So virtually everything, if not everything, the state of Washington is spending more money on has gotten like way worse. And that's because there's never been a good solution that involves giving more money to the government. And I would also say over that time frame, so you have this spending that's through the roof, right? And now we're still, though, we could hit deficit spending in a few years. We had a $15 billion budget deficit. They passed the largest tax increase in state history to try to make up for it. But even then, Bob Ferguson is saying we might not have enough money for core services. So none of the math is mathing there. But I also want you to think about all the times they promised you, the voter, that if you just passed this new progressive revenue stream, we'd have money for all this stuff. The capital gains tax. Oh my gosh, we just need the rich to pay their fair share. We're going to have so much money for education and to do all these improvements and everything's going to be great. And they've had hundreds of millions of dollars come into their coffers from the capital gains tax. But they also did what? They had people like Jeff Bezos who fled the state, and all the money that comes along with Jeff Bezos, gone. And then at the same time, nothing they've given that money to has gotten better. What are the other new tax revenues? The Climate Commitment Act. They've made $4 billion off the Climate Commitment Act thanks to the prices at the gas pump. Has the climate gotten better? No. In fact, less than 11% of all that money went to actually help the climate. It's not tangible, but at least it went to programs technically designed to reduce carbon emissions. The rest of it went to like DEI and environmental slush funds and weird things like that. All of these new taxes that they passed, we're getting nothing for it. They're just pissing it away, and then we're still in a budget crisis at the end of the day. And it's one of those things that you just beat your head against the wall, and you're like, when will people realize they're being fleeced by the people they elected? They're totally fleecing you. And then your money has to go to things like reparations. Even if you're a 20 or 30 something, and you've been working hard to save money for a home, and you almost have enough money for a down payment, when you go to close on your home, you're going to have to pay into a fund that will give other people a free down payment. Free. Why? Well, because their skin color is correct. It's just crazy. I just don't know how to wake people up to the fact that more money to government is never going to be the solution to anything. And I would argue it actually makes things worse and keeps things worse, because what they do is they use that failure as an excuse to ask you for more money. What did Superintendent of Chris Reichdahl come out and do this past year? Oh, we need big increases. You know, all these things in order for us to succeed academically, because test scores are in the toilet, we're going to need you to give us more money. Except they've spent 111% more and test scores have only gone down. So we actually have proof that more money doesn't equal better test scores. But they use that failure to dupe you, and the media allows them to use that failure to dupe you into giving them more money because it's education. Oh my gosh, it's education. It's for the kids. Same thing with homelessness. Oh my gosh, homelessness is so bad. It's a housing issue. So we want to increase taxes by billions of dollars to build more affordable housing. So they use you. They use your good hearts. So they leverage your sympathy for our children and the homeless to just steal more of your money and then to piss it away. And the voters just keep letting them do it. And the media just keeps letting them do it. Unbelievable. All right, second dose of unbelievable on the immigration front. Let's get to it. I just feel the need to continue to call these things out, even if I'm screaming at a wall, because it's like, I get it. We know by now that the mainstream news is very sympathetic with illegal aliens. We know by now that they'll spin sob stories, even if it's unaccompanied minor children who were rescued from a pot farm by the Trump administration. Apparently, though, like, still bad. So there are a couple headlines that I saw yesterday about this farm worker, Alfredo Juarez. King 5 News, Seattle Times. King 5 News, Alfredo Juarez will self-deport to Mexico in order to get out of the Northwest Detention Center. His attorney said he couldn't bear to be there any longer. Very sad. Seattle Times, a union farm worker activist who has been detained by ICE has decided to leave the country voluntarily. What a noble man. That's a lot of descriptive words there. A union farm worker activist. You know which word to describe him they didn't use? Illegal. I don't care if he's a union farm worker or an activist or a son or a brother or whatever a word you want to throw out there to describe him. None of those are the reason why he's facing deportation. He's facing deportation and ultimately decided to self-deport because he's in this country illegally. And you could try to muddy the water and make it seem very, very sad. But at the end of the day, if he were here legally, none of these things would be happening to him. So he, let's see here. Seattle Times, I want to read a little bit of their reporting. Headline, WA farm worker activist arrested by ICE to voluntarily leave the U.S. Alfredo Lelo Juarez Zeferino, he's 25 years old, a union farm worker activist who has been detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement for nearly 4 months, decided Monday to leave the country voluntarily. Here's a real doozy. A lot of buzzwords, even for the Times. Juarez Zeferino, a Cedro woolly man who is a member of the indigenous Mexican Mixteco community. What? What? He is a Cedro woolly man. No, he's an illegal Mexican national, but okay. Cedro woolly man who is a member of the indigenous Mexican Mixteco community. What is this? Has organized on behalf of farm workers' rights in Washington state since he was 14 years old and worked as a berry picker. He was arrested by immigration officers in March while he was driving his partner to her job at a Tulalip bulb company in Mount Vernon. Okay. He was 14 years old, or was he 15 when they arrested him? He was driving a car and he didn't have a driver's license. Right? So we got in trouble for
it. No, the next story will clarify.
But... Oh, okay. All right. Let me read the next story then.
Yep.
All right. The King 5, how they covered it. Again, sob story. Farm worker activist Alfredo Juarez to self-deport in order to get out of the Northwest Detention Center. 10 years ago, when he was a teenager, Bellingham police pulled Juarez over for driving the wrong way on a one-way street in his parents' car without a license. He admitted he was undocumented, but lied to police about his age, saying he was 18 when he was actually 15. That decade-old law enforcement encounter was part of why Lelo was detained in March. King 5 found no other criminal activity on his record. His sister Aaliyah said it hurts to watch the American dream they worked so hard to achieve come to an end. Quote, our parents sacrificed so much to give us an opportunity. They wanted us to have the American dream, but it seems that not many want us to have that because of our skin color. So first of all, they're saying this guy's got no criminal history. Although you just told us that he was driving his parents' car, underage, without a license, going the wrong way on a street, and then lied to the police about his age. So, okay. But even if he has no criminal history, the reason he's facing deportation is he's in the country illegally. and for his sister. And of course, King Five would print this saying, they don't want us to have the American dream because of the color of our skin. There are a lot of people with your same skin color who are currently legally living the American dream today. And they put in the time and did the work and the paperwork to be able to come here lawfully. I feel like, how else do I explain this? But all of this coverage and the angst from elected leaders, et cetera, and again, we can have debates over what President and who President Donald Trump should be prioritizing. But when I read something like that, I want to ask King Five News, so what do you think should happen to people who are here illegally and who come here illegally? Because if the answer is let them stay, then what you're saying is you don't believe that we should have a border to our country and that you don't believe that there should be anything called illegal immigration. And if that's what you believe, own it. If that's what you believe, just say so. If you're a member of Congress, if you're the governor, if you're a mayor, and you're arguing against lawful immigration enforcement, removing people who are here illegally, if the reason why is you don't think we should have any immigration laws on the books, say it so we can write it in stone and talk about how asinine that is. But they don't want to say that, but everything they say and do, what other conclusion could we come to? If you're going to advocate for people who are here illegally to be able to stay, no matter what, then what you're advocating for is to not have any immigration policies. And that is a much different conversation. So you can feel bad for him, I guess, you know, but let's not pretend that he's here legally. Let's not pretend that there's no reason for ICE to have detained him. Let's not pretend that they're detaining him because of the color of his skin. And the media, again, every single time, it's just the Democratic talking point, the Democratic talking point, the Democratic talking point. And then that's why you've got all these TDS people online talking about how cruel Donald Trump is. Let's not talk about Donald Trump. Let's talk about the nation's immigration policies. Let's talk about the laws that are on the books and whether there should be changes to them, whether we could talk about amnesty or whatever it is. But what they're doing is lawful. It's just wild. And King Five News, Seattle Times, totally lost. Totally lost. All right, we'll get to some national news coming up next in our daily subscriber show poll. First, if you're interested in housing policy at all, make sure you sign up to attend the Engage Conference happening October 22nd and 23rd at Meydenbauer Center in Bellevue. It is hosted by the Rental Housing Association of Washington, and it's all things housing policy. So whether you're a builder, a developer, maybe you are currently a landlord thinking about becoming a landlord, or you're like, I'm thinking about selling all my units because I don't want to be a landlord here anymore. This is a great conference for you to attend to get all the information about what's happening around housing policy in Washington State. You can sign up for it, rhawa.org, rhawa.org. And while you're there, if you are a small to mid-sized housing provider, make sure to become a member of RHA. They've got your back in Olympia. They're down there trying to advocate for common sense policies. And I think most importantly, they can help you navigate this crazy environment around all the rules and regulations about being a landlord, so you can make sure that you don't run afoul of Democrats in Olympia. Can't have that. The consequences would be severe. RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org. Okay, in some national news. So Gavin Newsom, he's still doing the rounds on these conservative shows, like trying to act like I feel so bad for him that he actually thinks he's going to be president of the United States. Like, it's kind of sad to watch. But he's out there reinventing himself, like, I'm a cool guy. I'm going to talk to all these conservatives. So he went on the Sean Ryan show. He's a Navy SEAL, does his show out in Asheville, mostly a conservative audience, I would say. And his audience was not happy that he platformed Gavin Newsom, but I'm all for platforming people to have a conversation with them. I think he did a really bad job. I don't watch the Sean Ryan show, but I don't think he was prepared. I don't think he called Gavin Newsom out on his gaslighting and lying. So it's one thing to platform someone if you're going to hold them to task, but he didn't. So it's sort of like he just made Gavin Newsom sit there and act like he's a reasonable human being, which he's not. But there was this moment that I think is really important. So we've already played the clip before of, you know, as he tries to reinvent himself, Gavin Newsom saying he thinks it's unfair for boys to compete against girls. Remember, he said that with Charlie Kirk. Yeah, obviously that's unfair. Yet, like right now, California is in a legal battle with the White House because they want to continue to allow boys to compete against girls, despite the governor being on camera saying it's unfair. So if Gavin Newsom is going to go out there and reinvent himself and act as a moderate that could appeal to most Americans, he has to take a reasonable position on radical gender ideology, right? And there's some low-hanging fruit in that realm. Like, look, you can, trans rights are human rights, whatever it is, but like an 80-20 issue is this idea of the gender mutilation of children. Like, that is an issue that if you're trying to paint yourself as a moderate, you should run the other way from. Not something you should support in a million years. But Gavin Newsom, listen to him try to dance around the simplest, easiest question to answer on radical gender ideology.
What about for your values? I mean, is 8 years old too young?
Yeah, I mean, look, I now that I have a 9-year-old, just became 9, come on, man, I get it. So those are legit. You know, it's interesting, just the issue of age, as someone that's been so focused on...
Answer the question,
on
Gavin.
...equality, broadly, LGBT rights, particularly gay marriage. Mm-hmm. The trans issue for me is also novel. It's over the
gestures.
Last few years.
More answering.
I'm trying to understand as much as anyone else. Whole pronoun thing. Trying to understand all of that. Well, you know, that was...
Answer the question.
Hell, I mean, all that stuff. I get it.
Okay, but are you okay with 8-year-olds getting gender reassignment surgery, Gavin? If you can't answer that and you're trying to paint yourself as a moderate, it's just never going to work out for you. I mean, I think even some of the loony lefties in Washington State pushing that would say, yeah, 8 years old is too young to have any sort of life-altering elective surgery. And here's Gavin Newsom on a conservative show trying to paint himself as a conservative or a, you know, moderate. And he can't even answer that question? Crazy. He just makes my skin crawl. I hate to say that. And then what is with? I am a handsy person.
Yeah.
I am very handsy, very Bernie Sanders. What is with the Gavin Newsom hand thing? The more nervous he is, the more he uses his hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy to watch.
Well, it's like a wave that he does with his body.
It's very strange. Sorry, I'm pruning. Very strange. It's very strange. All right, some good news out of the U.S. Supreme Court. Gavin, please go away. Please, somebody tell him you're never going to be president of the United States. Please, it's just a lot.
I do feel like he's in
he's
Obama
trying
training.
So hard. Oh, yeah. And then he's taking on Obama's like mannerisms and his mm-hmm. voice inflections.
Yep.
He just makes my skin crawl. It's not good. I know, undivided, but... really just bad. All right. Out of the Supreme Court, this is from the Hill. Supreme Court allows Trump to resume education department layoffs. It is fascinating, but not surprising to watch the utter meltdown from Democrats over this. It says the Supreme Court on Monday allowed President Trump to resume efforts to dismantle the Department of Education in an apparent 6-3 vote along ideological lines, lifting a judge's order to reinstate hundreds of employees terminated in mass layoffs. What's interesting is like you have all these teachers unions, and that's what the Department of Education was created for, is for the teachers unions, who are saying that this is going to have this huge impact on education. A state like Washington should technically cheer this on. And it's the, you know, red states don't care. Red states don't want the Department of Education anyway. But blue states should actually love this. Why? Because ultimately, getting rid of the U.S. Department of Education gives them more control over, more local control over education. This actually removes the federal government from the equation. So that if I'm sitting here and I'm Chris Reichdahl, the superintendent of public instruction in Washington, or I'm the Washington Education Association, and you're right now in the middle of a Trump presidency, someone who you ideologically are incredibly opposed to, wouldn't you look at this and say, hell yeah, now that money, those block grants we would get from the Department of Education, we're going to have more control over that money. And then Donald Trump can't hold DEI and transgender sports and all of that stuff over our head and threaten us with, oh, we're going to take money away from you from the Department of Education. So I don't understand why they would be opposed to this. They should celebrate it because it's Donald Trump's Department of Education that would no longer be lording over them in a way. And then also, it's going to be probably J.D. Vance or someone who's going to be in office for 8 years after this. So you cut this tie, you sever this tie, so you can continue to push your radical agenda on students without fear of losing federal funding. You can continue to allow boys to compete against girls without fear of federal funding. So it's very, very interesting to me that they're so opposed to this. And I think it's one of those things where they automatically, anything Donald Trump does, you know, they assume the worst motivations, and so they automatically are against and they're going to fight against. But if they really stop to think about this, they should be celebrating this, and they should be celebrating it as like the best possible thing that could happen under a Trump administration. It's so odd to me. Yet Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal out today. Another day, another ruling from the Supreme Court's right-wing majority that threatens our Constitution and the separation of powers. Interesting. I don't think you would be saying that if the Supreme Court was ideologically to the left and they were giving you a bunch of rulings that you liked. I don't think you would call that a threat to our Constitution and the separation of powers, but I digress. She says, the decision to let Trump dismantle the Department of Education threatens our country's entire public education system. Again, no, it doesn't. Not at all. If anything, it gives states more power to have an education system that aligns with their worldview and ideology, for better or for worse. In states like Washington, I actually think that's for worse. Having Washington State educators, the WEA, Chris Reichdahl, Bob Ferguson, with more control over our education system, not going to be great. In red states, they'll love this. So it's just very strange to me. I think that they're lost in the sauce on their TDS and aren't seeing this as the win that it is. Coming up next, a daily subscriber show poll asking you about amnesty for illegal farm workers. Quite a hot topic right now. First, if you're in the market to buy, and thank you to Wes Jones for that great tip. He's selling us, he's sending us all these tips on all these fees going up for home buyers and for home sellers to pay for these ideological things that the state is running. And I don't know that we would know about them if not for that. So thanks, Wes. But Wes Jones is a great real estate agent, first and foremost, not just a good news tip provider, but first and foremost, a great real estate agent. He's been doing that in our area for a really long time. He's just a great guy. And he and his team, they're the best at what they do. I mean, you take one look, sellwithwes.com, at the listings that they put together, the way they showcase homes, this great mix of pictures and video and this virtual ability. It's just so nice when you look at it compared to other listings on the market. And that's key to getting making sure that your listing gets the most possible eyeballs, foot traffic in the door, offers on the table. The marketing behind it really, really matters. And so you want someone who their marketing is second to none, and that's Wes Jones and Associates. The first thing I would do is go to the website, use their home value calculator to see how much your home is worth. It might be worth more than you think. So you just plug it in, give you an answer, and then ask Wes for a free market analysis. So he'll talk to you, kind of give you an honest analysis of how the market is in your area, how well you can expect your home to perform, both, you know, what kind of offers you can expect, but also how long you can expect it to take, which is very important as well. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It is simply a better way to sell your home. All right, let's get to our daily subscriber poll on Patreon, Locals, and X, a poll for our paid subscribers. Would you support amnesty for illegal farm workers who have committed no other law violations? I know it's something that a lot of mega conservatives don't want President Donald Trump to consider, but maybe there's been some people in his ear saying, hey, you know, our farms really depend on that labor, and that's just the way the system has been built, and to take it away from us would be devastating. Wow, people are pretty split in our subscriber pool. Nicole?
Yeah, gosh, I don't know.
Yay or nay?
Such a hard choice. I guess I kind of tend to, like, people that are brought here as children, like, when you're brought here as a child and you've grown up here and you've been here for all these years, and you, then I definitely support a path in, right? But, and I don't know. I really struggle with this one.
Raul Benitez Santana was here as a
right.
child.
And so I support him having a pathway in. I mean, he chose to break the law.
He killed a cop.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the guy that we were talking about today. Not.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody commits a violent crime, all
obviously,
bets are off, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so this is really hard. I mean, if you have committed no crimes and you're just, you know, you were brought here for other reasons, or you tried to, or you legitimately fled for good reason, then I support a path. You know,
but I think it has to be a path, you know, and I get it that you know, I said, broadly speaking, would you support this? Because there have to be some, you know, did you get here last year? Okay, you got to go home.
You know, if you came in because you were rushing in under Biden's open borders, I'm like, no, go away.
Yeah, how long has it been? And then, you know, have you been paying taxes? You know, to what extent have you been sucking off the government teat at all or anything like that? I probably could have worded that a little less sexual, you know. And so I think there's a lot of elements in play. Right. I would say I'm not opposed to, I'm not going to say I have blanket opposition to it, because I do believe for so long that this has been a reality. The path for these worker visas is sometimes not easy. So would I rather see plants go unpicked and farmers hurt at a time when we're losing family farms? No. Ideally, I think allowing, streamlining the process to get these workers up here is the best path, right? But yeah, if you've been working, you know, in our apple orchards or whatever it is, and they absolutely need it to be able to survive, I gotta say, I think there's some path, maybe a fee, something.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's not lost on me that we do live in this greatest nation. And I it's hard, you know, it's hard for some to get here. And I understand the willingness, and like, we're really blessed to just have been born here, and it have been really easy for us. So yeah. I do have, you know, empathy or sympathy for that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's a tough place to be. But then at the same time, you have to have laws, you have to have rules, or we don't have this country.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's a tough question, but I if you break the law, just like this kid that just got deported for driving at 15, and you know, I mean, you broke the law. Yeah. I and people say, "Oh, but he was just a kid." Sorry, I was a kid and I didn't really break laws. So I did. Well, yeah, you did.
I was a troublemaker.
Yeah, well, see?
Yeah, well, it's red. 55.
See you later, Brandy.
45% yes, 55% no.
That's pretty tight.
We're pretty split.
Pretty split.
And look, I do fundamentally believe that we have to enforce our immigration laws, or else we're going to continue to have this crisis where people think they can sneak in. And we can't have that. I think that's what President Donald Trump is trying to send a message of. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, we have laws and you have to follow them. Now, what do you do about the millions of people who were allowed to come in? Really, I mean, Biden's like, come on in, everyone, open border, no problems. And so I blame him in large part. And I kind of have sympathy for people who maybe thought
every Democrat was supportive of that.
Yeah, almost every. I'm not going to say every, because I'm not 100. I can't tell you every single member of Congress and where they were at. So, yeah, I mean, I guess under certain circumstances, I would be OK with some kind of amnesty, or give them a lawful worker's permit. Don't give them citizenship, but fast track them to get a worker's permit so they can stay here, continue to work, and not be fearful about deportation. So at least make them legit in that sense, that they've got a permit that allows them to keep working there. And the federal government has acknowledged that they were here illegally, but now you have a worker's permit. We're not going to come scoop you up and deport you.
I guess it's just hard. Makes the healthcare, all of that stuff hard. But I guess if you're paying taxes, then okay. But
yeah, there's got to be some stipulations. Bruce Manning, I've been told for years that they're only doing jobs that Americans don't want to do. That's not true. Bill Swick says he wouldn't support amnesty, but he would support a temporary stay with limitations. I like that. Jackie McWalter Huff, immigrant farm workers keep our produce prices reasonable, doing a job most Americans won't. I don't like the idea of amnesty, but I think we should have a simple program for immigrant farm workers where you can quickly and easily get a work visa for the farms. For people who are willing to work the farms for the low wage, we need a simple legal path to do so, even if that's possible. Yeah, and there have to be consequences, right? There's a lot of instances where you have someone who came in here legally to work in a seasonal job, like in a farming job, and then they stayed. And then they stayed and they continued to do it. So at that point, if you have the Trump administration saying, look, if you don't check in, if you don't reapply for this visa every year or every season, then you're going to be deported and you're not going to be allowed to come back. So you have to follow the rules.
I just thought of a great idea.
What is your
idea? I feel like they can trade. You can,
okay.
If you go pick one of the protesters outside of ICE and you can trade citizenship.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
One of those people.
Nicole, this is the best idea you've ever had. 1,000%, okay? 1,000%. If you're a Mexican national in the country illegally, but you're a hard worker, if you can convince one of those Antifa goons to take your place and become a Mexican citizen, Donald Trump and ICE should allow them to switch.
Yep.
because they hate America anyway, right?
Yep.
Get so out. Let him go to Mexico. Let him switch citizenship. I'll take 10 times out of 10.
And why wouldn't you do
that? The hardworking immigrant.
That's what you're fighting for. That's what you're out there protesting, right?
Yeah, send him away.
You can save one of those people that you're outside of ICE protesting for.
Dare I even say that for some of those Antifa types arrested in Portland on federal charges,
yeah,
let's give them an option. Either we go to trial and you spend, you know, 10 years in federal prison, or we will allow you to renounce your U.S. citizenship and become a citizen of a different country, and then we'll deport you to that country. So you choose 10 years in Fed or renounce your U.S. citizenship and go to a different country.
Yeah.
I think some of them would take it.
Yeah.
And then they'd be miserable, but they'd get a taste of why they're so misguided, you know? Oh, I love it. I love it. Nicole, that's the best idea you've ever had.
I thought so.
Winton, yes, we are the United States. It shouldn't take forever to get someone vetted and make them a citizen. I agree it takes too long. You know, I do definitely want there to be proper vetting and a process that you have to go through that I think builds sort of enthusiasm about eventually becoming an American citizen. You really had to work for it, right? It wasn't just like, yep, stamp, come on in.
Them, I mean, the citizenship test is definitely, I think they probably know more by the end of it than we remember from school.
Yeah. Remember, we did a citizenship test on the show once. It was
it was a pretty easy one. I've heard some questions coming out of it that are more difficult.
I'm pruning so much. I just got a haircut. It's not working out for me.
It looks good. Leave it alone. But, you know, it looks great.
I want my hair back. Anyway, okay, great comments per the usual. You guys really split on that one. We'll get to show comments in our closing sanity check coming up. First, I keep encouraging you guys, take the First Mark challenge. Just schedule a little bit of time to have a call with First Mark. Talk to them about your current insurance, your insurance needs, maybe any changes that you have coming up. And they can help you navigate it for free. And they could save you thousands of dollars a year. Jacob says that they finally did the First Mark challenge. Now they're saving $600 on their home, $2,000 a year on their family's car insurance. Okay, that's a no-brainer. And then sometimes you find out that actually you have the best insurance at the best price and you did a great job and you don't need First Mark. That's what they told Amy. They said they were very helpful, but they said our current insurance is our best bet for now. So we're glad we contacted them to confirm. So then if you're Amy, you just give yourself a pat on the back. And then if you have another change in your insurance, you can reach out to First Mark again. But to me, that's the sign of an honest company. They're not just going to scoop up your business just because you came to them. They want to make sure there's the right thing for you. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies, as is evidenced by Amy's story. All right, let's get to some show comments, shall we, on the horror of housing first, the lie that is housing first. Old Sub Sailor, the homeless industrial complex is nothing more than a money laundering process for politicians and NGOs to line their pockets with our tax dollars. It's totally corrupt. Couldn't agree more, Old Sub Sailor. Cynthia, I'm trying to understand how raising property taxes and all the other taxes and adding a rent cap is a housing solution. Their math is like 1 + 1 = 1 billion. Well, math is racist, Cynthia, so they don't believe in math. And she says, we all got no money because they stole it all. Yeah, and then they squandered it. Papa Woody, but everyone is moving to Montana. Yeah, is Montana still a key hotspot destination, I imagine? Montana's getting pretty expensive, though.
Yeah, it is.
The Yellowstone effect.
Yeah, I think it's a land issue because a lot of the land is not for sale, right?
Because you got people like the Yellowstone Ranch, and they're like, we're not selling an inch.
No.
We'll give it to the Native Americans before. Sorry if I ruined the show for everyone. Yellowstone's ends when they give the land back to the Native Americans.
If they haven't watched it.
Oh, come on. If you haven't watched it by now.
I just haven't watched the last season. I was mad when Kevin left.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I did ruin it for you. Whatever. It's been
years. I've had my chance.
You've had your chance. It's not a spoiler anymore. Sean Bell, none of the people you see living on the streets are addicted. They were just recently... Okay, hold on. Let me reread that. None of the people you see living on the streets and are addicted were just recently priced out of their two-bedroom downtown Bellevue apartment. Mm-hmm. Correct. Correct, Sean. Cage 2202, isn't it possible to have a homeless and a drug problem?
I would say you could have that problem if you're giving the money that should be going to the people that actually can't afford to live somewhere within their, you know, or whatever that they can't afford, that they've been put in that position because we're giving it to those people that are drug addicted and we're supporting that bad habit. So it might be both if you're saying we're giving it to these people, but it should be going to these people.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess to your question, yes, I think a lot of people are homeless and so and have a drug addiction. But one of the reasons they don't have a house is because they have a drug addiction. I don't think it's a situation of people can't afford a place to live, then they're on the streets and all of a sudden start using a hard drug like fentanyl.
No, they're choosing not to have
a
home.
Right. I don't believe that happens. So it's sort of a chicken and an egg issue.
Right. They're choosing not. They're choosing.
Right.
Yeah, they've, I mean, I'm sorry, but you choose that first drug pickup, right? However that works. I know it sometimes escalates from one thing to another, but there's always like, I don't know. And you're choosing, I guess there's
it's
like,
a choice.
It's a choice.
I would
you're
say
not getting help. It's a choice.
In the rare instances where someone does fall into homelessness, they have no safety net. Mm-hmm. They have no financial safety net. They have no family. They have no friends that'll take them in. I think this is a rare instance we're talking about. Or you burnt all those bridges for whatever reason. Or I think a case you actually do see a woman fleeing domestic violence, right? So now all of a sudden you had no safety net and you can't rely on family because maybe they have a tie to your partner and you're a DV victim. We have more than enough money to instantly get help for those people. Those should be a non-factor.
Those resources are out
there. That's a non-issue. Right. There's a million resources out there where if really, truly your issue is you're a few $1,000s short of rent, billions of dollars to help you like that. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that's not what's going on here. It's just not.
Going
couple individual instances, it's substance abuse and mental illness. Let's see. On Washington government spending surging, KC says, where is the marijuana money going? I get this question so much. Let's do this. On the show, either this week or next week, we need to do an update breakdown where all the marijuana money is going, how much is coming in, et cetera. I get this question probably more than any other question from people on taxes. Okay. Where is the freaking weed money going? Singular Neuron, the only betrayal is Bob being in office. I agree. I feel betrayed. Someone who I love very much liked a post from Bob Ferguson on Instagram. And I saw it, and I will say I felt betrayed. Mm-hmm. I was like, don't you dare like Bob Ferguson Instagram post. Jeffrey over on Patreon, no money after the largest tax hike in Washington state history. Who's demanding answers where our money is going? Good question. Not the media. Not the news media. Salty, now I understand why they're not teaching math anymore. They don't want anyone to figure out what they're doing. That's great. That's why math scores suck so bad, because they're like, we can't have these people doing the math on the homeless crisis. So let's just make sure no one knows math. We can't have them asking why we have 116% additional spending, but we're still out of money. Can't do that.
Nope.
That's funny, Salty. That's funny. Media drumming up sympathy for this guy who self-deported. Hello, Watermelon. Ugh, come on. I have so much compassion for this issue. But skin color? Yeah, it's it just so happens that people who are coming here illegally happen to be from places where their skin pigmentation is different than the majority of Americans. But to blame it on skin color is stupid.
There's just thousands and thousands of people, and you can't take it case by case. Like, you have to be like, broke the law, didn't break the law,
right.
But in,
that's it. Well, they treat them all the same, though. It doesn't matter if rapist picked up, the media is like, oh, that's sad. Or if you're the guy who killed the trooper, oh, he's going to be deported. Or if you're, you know, came here as a teen and, you know, now you're an activist, they treat it like with the same sympathy.
But that's what I mean. They're like cherry picking and like slapping on sympathy. But for ICE or Trump or whoever, they're like, no, like it just has to be broke the law.
Yeah.
Didn't break the law. Right.
God, it's annoying. God, it's annoying.
So
guys, how do we survive? Todd Welch, they cannot live the American dream because they're not here legally. You can never live the best, most profitable life if you are not here legally. I agree to the sympathy like, oh, they don't want us to live the American dream because our skin color is different. No, I have a ton of friends. Is this my like, I got a black friend. We know a ton of people, obviously, every single one of us, work, live, buy, whatever it is, people of all different skin tones. This is one of the most diverse states in the country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, whether you're Asian American, you're saying, no, not really. We have a ton of Asian Americans.
Maybe not.
Yeah, we don't have a huge black population, but we have, you know, from all over Asia. Yeah. I mean, So this idea that you can't live the American, that we don't want you here because of your skin color is just fundamentally false. I mean, yes, we're majority white. Like, that's where we're at as a country. I don't know if it'll always be that way. Probably not. I mean, I think it's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Diversity has never been an issue. I do believe immigration is a strength to this country. People who have brought tremendous talents and ideas to this country. But the idea that we're being racist because you have to come here legally is just crazy. Gavin not being able to answer the simple question, should an 8-year-old have gender reassignment surgery? Tyrone Wilson says, Jazz Hands Newsome. Yeah, he really, it is so weird. It's so strange. Papa Woody, like said, interpretive dancing Newsome. Yeah, he's just trying to get his, he's just trying to get his message across. And now I'm doing like a stripper dance.
That's, well, I mean, that's what he's doing.
I don't think I'd make a lot of money with this dance.
Maybe not that specific one.
So, you know what? I'll just take my top off. I'll just take my top off. Ron Dog, this is the best podcast on earth. Thank you. I do think it's a good podcast.
Thanks, Ron Dog.
If you asked me. That's very nice of you. Jack, Brandy, I need a new merch drop soon, please. B-Day gifts for Dad and Buddy next month. Okay.
It's coming.
We've been teasing it for months. There was the platform we still have merch on. They put all these new requirements, not just for us, but for everyone, into effect. I mean, I had to have a call with the IRS yesterday to get a document I needed just to get our merch store back up and running. Again, not just for us. This is for everyone who uses this platform. Super annoying. I don't want to call the IRS. I got a bumper sticker that says taxation is theft. I don't want to call the IRS and have a conversation with those thieves, but I had to. So I think I would say days at this point.
Yeah.
Days. We're days away from having our new merch store launched. All right, Nicole, thank you. Great comments for the usual. Thank you to Miranda for monitoring the chat. Let's get to our closing sanity check. Seriously, my hair is just horrible today. What is going on? It's really bad. All right, so Barnes & Noble, if you've stepped foot into Barnes & Noble lately, so a lesbian couple did, and they were appalled by a section in the Barnes & Noble for gay baby books.
Okay, we're gay, but we're in Barnes & Noble's, and there's a kid's book section, a gay kid's book section, and this shit is crazy. Look at this. Okay, there's the gay BCs, right? Bye-bye binary. Bye-bye binary with a mohawk on a baby. Gay BCs, you're not ready. Can you hold this? Okay.
Oh my God.
What? A is for arrow and ace. B is for bi. This is crazy. We're gay, but this is crazy. What? For a baby?
D is for drag. Did you see that?
Yeah. And D is for drag. Coming out.
C is for coming out for a baby. Can you imagine an adult sitting there to their child as they're lulling to sleep? C is for coming out. D is for drag. Well, that seals the deal. I don't know if I was ever going to step foot back in a Barnes & Noble, but for now, for sure now, I'm not. Ever again. All right, that has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Please become a paid subscriber to the show if you haven't already. After all, you heard it here, Ron Dog, it's the best podcast on earth. So if it is, in fact, the best podcast on earth, it's definitely worth $5 a month, right? It's like a coffee. Hate to always make that comparison, but it is.
I mean, coffee's $7 now.
Coffee's expensive. You know, and we haven't even raised our prices for inflation. It's been $5 a month since the day we launched in 2021. I think that's a fair price.
Cheap.
So go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com, click on the little banner. It says support the show. And that's it. And then you sign up and then it's done. Then it's done. Is that it? My stomach's growling. I think it's time to go. We'll be back here. Same time, same place tomorrow at noon. Toodaloo.